ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, Chris, I'm not sure whose life is sadder, yours or mine.
Why?
Well, you tweeted last night.
Oh, yes. I tweeted, my boss just asked me to put a fart in her box.
So either sadder that is part of your life and job or that part of my life and job is I'm sitting at home drinking box wine thinking, I need, in my sound effects box. I think I'll email Chris now. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there.
Tweeting is the work of the devil.
Yeah, someone tweeted back to me and said, I think that could be considered sexual harassment.
That is, all I'm saying is that is my life. That is my life. Sitting at home thinking, what's missing in my life? Oh, I know.
Fart in the box.
Yes, I was thinking, well, because, you know, Jim, if you keep just putting the same old thing in your box, it's bound to, I started thinking I need to freshen things up. And there it is. Okay. Thank you, Chris.
What other things do you have in your box?
Oh, I have lots of new things in my box. Let's see. I have that. Oh, I have this one. I have I have this now. I have that. Fun facts. Okay. That's all the new things I have in my box. Oh, this. Okay.
Beavis and Butthead are in your box.
Yes.
Wow. The both
indeed.
Of them.
Indeed. Indeed. All right, so that's pretty much my life. But I did note in the email to you, this is how sad is this that I'm a grown woman and this is the sort of email I send at night.
Yeah. And that's the kind of email I get from you.
Thanks for sharing with everybody. See, that's the thing, no privacy anymore with this damn Twittering situation. Immediately tweeted that to everybody.
I did, and everybody got a huge kick out of it.
Well, you can follow me, by the way, at
twitter.com/smshow.
There you go. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, we have an edition of Hey, What's Up With This Economy coming up with an economist.
Hey!
From the Center for American Progress in just a little bit. Some various Congress critters, et cetera, to check in on health care and whatever. Oh, Jim, we're going to do a Right Wing World. Did you see there was another edition of that dick last night? Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Oh, I need some. I don't have game show music in my box. That's what I need. I need Jim to say it's time for another edition.
It's time for another edition of
Oh That Dick.
Oh That Dick.
Dick Cheney. He accused the White House of dithering over the war in Afghanistan and urged President Obama to do what it takes to win.
Oh That Dick.
He will just not shut that evil pie hole. All right, so we will talk about that. Julie in Seattle, speaking of hawks and neocons, oh my goodness, John Bolton also gave a speech recently. Did you hear about this, Jim? Steph, mayhaps this is just me, but it seems a mite counterproductive to constantly be threatening to nuke countries you want to stop building their own nukes. During a little notice speech at the University of Chicago, John Bolton suggested a way to resolve the controversy over Iran's nuclear program. Israel should launch a nuclear attack on Iran. What?! He said unless Israel's prepared to use nuclear weapons against Iran's program, Iran will have nuclear weapons in the very near future.
Which gives Iran every reason to try to acquire nuclear weapons.
If I were Iran, I'd be like, boy, howdy, I better get me a bomb.
If the world has learned anything, we'll attack people who do not yet have a nuke.
You know what? That is probably the most irresponsible thing that a former Bush administration official has ever said. And that
except
is,
for that dick.
Well. I think Cheney. That's more irresponsible than what Dick Cheney said. Dick Cheney was just being an ass. But
and
John Bolton is being
then
dangerous.
Bolton should be put away.
Yes.
A foreign policy analyst said he's clearly been in the bomb Iran camp for quite some time, but using nuclear weapons seems to be an escalation from his side. At the annual Conservative Political Action Conference in Washington last February, Bolton joked that President Obama might better understand foreign policy if his hometown of Chicago was destroyed by a nuclear bomb.
That's insane.
You know, I've noticed that. I was going to say that. Another Middle East expert said, you know, there is a day after you use a nuclear weapon. If you want to maximize collateral damage and really make sure the Iranian-Israeli conflict will be another unending Middle Eastern conflict, then nuclear weapons is your path, and John Bolton's your guy.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jim points out, I don't know if you've noticed, he's a little crazy. Don't go that road, go crazy.
Secretariat building in New York has 38 stories. If you lost 10 stories today, it would make a bit of difference. This kind of mindless creation of the United Nations as something different from what it's in the United States' interest to do isn't going to sell here or anywhere else. The only question, to the United States is what's in our national interest. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry, but that is the fact.
Wow. That guy was a diplomat.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who the Bush administration hires to be their top diplomat.
He is helpful.
Wow.
Okay.
Why would they just all go away? All those people.
I know. Could they have screwed up any more badly? And why do people still even ask them to come speak?
And Liz Cheney keeps opening up her evil cake hole.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Rachel Maddow's afraid of me.
She doesn't want to talk. She doesn't want to debate the issues. Would you like to come on Rachel Maddow?
What? I got a thing with a guy. I gotta go.
Hello?
I gotta
Oh, boy. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go.
It's a little early for this, isn't it?
Never's a good time.
When you open with Dick Cheney, then, I don't know where else. There's nowhere to go but down.
Is Dick in your thoughts as well?
Pardon me? No, I don't have him in there. Okay.
Maybe we should get some Dick in your box.
Stop it!
What? What?
You always have to go one step further.
Maybe that would help things.
I mean, when you start with... Where's the show going to go from here?
Well...
All right. Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee. Gee, the Obama White House, Jim, for mentioning that Fox News isn't really news, that makes him just like Dick Nixon.
As any veteran of the Nixon White House can attest, we've been down this road before, and it won't end well. An enemies list only denigrates the presidency and the republic itself.
An enemies
list. I bet
list.
He was all for it when Nixon was doing it.
Yeah, well, he was in the Nixon White House. Lamar Alexander was.
Yeah.
Of course he was for it. Bill Cosby was on Nixon's...
Yeah.
I said Hitler. I'm sorry. I am just instinct.
Yeah.
Is on Nixon's enemy list.
I did not know that.
And he was very proud of that.
I did not know that.
He was very proud to be on his enemies.
By the way, how big a... is this whole thing? The Bush administration didn't give one interview to the New York Times in his entire... And Fox News cheered on their war against NBC News. You remember that whole thing? Unbelievable. All right. O'Reilly whining again.
The White House is systematically undermining prominent Republicans, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Rush Limbaugh, and other right-wing radio people, as well as Fox News. Again, why is the Obama administration bothering with this when it has to fix the economy, win the war in Afghanistan, and reinvent the healthcare industry? President Obama is making an enormous mistake in associating his office with political feuds. And the irony is he doesn't need to do it. There are plenty of far-left media hatchet men to do the dirty work against the right.
Okay. Well, first of all, he is doing all those other things. However, he can also simultaneously point out that the Fox News is an arm of the Republican Party.
Yes. Clearly is. Roger Ailes, the top propagandist of the Republican Party.
And by the way,
that's his little
not
baby.
Saying he won't go on again or people from the White House will not be booked on Fox News. Just saying, by the way, we realize we're debating the opposition when we go on there.
Yeah.
That's fine. All right. That's the thing. I don't even understand the screaming over there. Everyone acknowledges. Do they have ratings? Yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes. What, is it
and
news?
And good on them.
Is it news?
Computer says no.
No. No. All right.
I think they finally dropped the fair and balanced thing. They don't have any pretense of...
Yeah. I like the White House is undermining... I think the Republican Party is doing a good job of undermining themselves at this point. Yeah. I'm not sure how you get to 20% of the American public want to say they're Republicans.
Right.
Yeah, Obama did all that, sure. All right, John, my right-wing love muffin in Cincinnati, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
Welcome. Hello, John.
Hello. I have a quick question for you and your other lefty host, Keith Olbermann. What comes to mind when I say Keith Olbermann and tingly feelings?
Future husband. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, they're not biased at all?
Sure they are.
I didn't say they weren't.
They have opinion shows.
Then why? Well, so is Hannity's show and so is Beck's show.
Right. John, the point is, MSNBC has decided to counter Fox News, obviously. They've decided to take a point of view just like Fox News has.
They have news shows that are just news and not opinion. Keith Olbermann isn't one of them. It's clearly, to some extent, about opinion.
Right.
So why didn't the Bush White House go to war against Keith Olbermann?
Oh,
they did. They absolutely did.
Dana Perino on Fox News earlier this week admitted that towards the end there, they did shut MSNBC and NBC News out.
And New York Times did not give one interview to the New York Times.
I don't remember hearing a backlash from you or anyone else. On left side of the radio or the right side of the radio, I never even heard it. And I
what are you talking about?
50,000 miles in my car in 2008, listening to POTUS, listening to you guys, listening to the right side. So this whole, you know, whole Fox is not a news organization when MSNBC is full of Keith Olbermann's and Maddow's and
TV. Right, the difference,
John, the difference is during the rest of the day, NBC actually does do news.
Yes,
those are
exactly.
opinion shows. The difference with Fox is it's not just the evening opinion shows.
And also,
their news coverage, quote-unquote, is slanted all day long against the Obama administration.
And they're using official talking points that are handed down to every talk show host in the country, which they don't.
If I put C-SPAN on, I'm not hearing a leftward-leaning...
C-SPAN is unfiltered.
C-SPAN is leftward-leaning?
C-SPAN is unfiltered.
Oh, wow.
C-SPAN is like a reality show. It just records what's actually happening in Washington.
The Clinton
it doesn't...
News Network.
The Clinton News Network.
Oh, you're talking about CNN.
Oh, CNN, CNN, the network that...
Why does Fox have viewership that doubles and triples the other news?
One reason is that they're all on basic cable. And
and MSNBC is being moved to upper tiers by the likes of Comcast and the other major cable companies.
Have you ever noticed that, John? When you travel around the country, turn on whatever in whatever hotel you're in. Tell me what news channels you can get. You can always get Fox. You can very rarely get MSNBC. It's what we're talking about is it's on every cable system.
Right. Corporate America is promoting Fox.
No one is disputing Fox's ratings. I've never said they don't have ratings. Of course they do.
It's a ratings issue. Why would they put a show? Why would they put a channel on that gets 500,000 watchers at 8 o'clock when they could have a news channel that gets 5 million?
Right, but John. You sound like a fair-minded person. It's just like talk radio. You understand that right-wing talk radio has been out there for, maybe about 30 years now. They are in 91% of the stations in the country. We are on 9%. So do you think that's going to really be a fair fight either? Do you think there's any way realistically I'm going to have as many listeners as Rush Limbaugh? And I'm not disputing Rush Limbaugh's talent or his ratings or anything.
Rush Limbaugh.
That's what I'm saying. I don't have access to as many stations. How could I possibly have as many ratings?
How many stations did Rush Limbaugh have in 1988 when he got on the air for the first time?
Very few.
It
took him a long time.
I've been on
5 years.
Okay, so
he's been on 25.
1993.
Pardon me?
I'm not as successful as someone in my business who's been in the business for 25 years either.
Right. My point is, John, my show and many others in the progressive arena, we beat conservative shows in our time slot in many, many cities where we're on a good signal or where we go head to head. So you can pick and choose a lot of different barometers. Do I have nearly as many listeners as Rush Limbaugh? Of course not.
And you're not going to ever with the whole what's in your box talk. That's like a Bob and Tom in the morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. So when Rush Limbaugh said that Carol Costello of CNN should sit on a fire hydrant make herself feel better.
That was gutter humor, but you do it every day. I listen it's eighth grade humor every
day.
It's like an FM.
Oh, I see. But it was much more mature when he said that.
Yeah. No, I didn't agree. It was completely immature.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, John. I love you. Goodbye. Okay.
All right. Take care now.
What is it about that they don't get that they're on? They have 91% of the stations, and we're often beating them in some of those markets. It's not a meritocracy.
Yes. Well, it is, and I'm just saying it is analogous because when you are largely on smaller signals or like MSNBC on a higher tier where you're not available in nearly as many households,
you're going to have fewer.
It's not a fair fight, is
all.
Okay. That being said, no one is disputing Fox News or Rush Limbaugh's ratings. However, all right. So any minutes after the hour, back with we'll give you the fun facts. In fact, about the Bush White House's war on NBC and the White and the New York Times, as we continue in Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Aaron in Chicago on the Fox News with the very mature thought that they started it. Hi, Aaron.
Well, they did. I'm really disappointed with you and the MOOCs that you keep missing that.
What?
What started this is going back 3, maybe 4 weeks. Remember when Obama was doing the talk show circuit and he was trying to drum up support about health care? He didn't go on Fox or any Fox affiliates, not even the one in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what started this. They've been complaining about it since until finally somebody made the bonehead move in the White House of mentioning why they didn't go. And now Fox has been complaining about it ever since.
Mm. Well, you know, look, they started it during the campaign, Fox News. I mean, come on. They were reporting that he went to a madrasa, which, and they, even after it was disproven, who did they have, Chris? John Gibson.
Yeah.
Still claiming it. I mean, it's just, they've been doing this, you know, from day one.
I'm showing that picture of him in Kenyan garb.
Thank you.
Look! He's an alien!
Here are the fun facts of the right-wing hypocrisy on this, in case you'd like to know. Oh, Karl Rove, on the Fox News, apparently incensed, Jim. He said, I mean, imagine what would have happened if President Bush had said, you know, I'm going to call NBC, not a news organization, because MSNBC has some ugly left-wing opinion programming. I mean, people would go nuts. What would happen if somebody said, you know, the people who are working for New York Times are not journalists because the opinion page of the New York Times are some very liberal journalism. Oh, people would be up in arms. Rove must have a short memory.
Yeah.
The Bush administration's war with the New York Times started before Bush even assumed office. Bush called a Times reporter a major league hole, as you recall, and never apologized. In fact, he never gave the New York Times a single interview throughout his presidency.
Gee, that'd be bad if that had happened.
The Bush White House's war with NBC's news more well-known. Then White House Counselor Ed Gillespie publicly sent a scathing letter to NBC News President Steve Capus, accusing them of deceptive editing and blurring the lines between news and opinion. Soon after, Dana Perino expounded on the campaign against NBC from the White House podium. She said, the reason we sent the letter is because we've gotten fed up with the way the president's policies are being mischaracterized or situations on the ground weren't being accurately reflected in the reporting. We complained before it reached a boiling point.
Yeah.
And indeed, Fox News did, quote, go nuts in support of the White House.
Yeah.
Just for those of you that were very supportive of the Bush White House's war against NBC, the Fox was. Interesting. Huh. Hmm. I guess they don't have any, storage room there, Chris, for any, tape that goes back before this.
No. They got a small place there.
They have no microfiche.
No.
Of any kind.
They had to get rid of it when they started up that Fox Business channel.
Yeah. It's taking up all their resources.
Yeah. Christian Weller, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. You know, he's a fancy economist.
He is.
He will join us next to for another edition of
Love
What's
His Work
Up?
In RoboCop.
With this economy. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
George Burns was right.
Stephanie Miller.
He's a hideous bitch goddess.
I consider that a compliment, instead of the source.
Jack Gray, who's a producer at CNN, just tweeted, "Morning people make my ears sad."
That's true. We endure it every morning, don't we,
Jim? That's right.
When we hook
Good
up
morning, Denver!
When we hook up to our affiliate, our syndicator is based in Denver.
Right. Good morning, Denver!
Chris is very chirpy in the morning when we're hooking up. Good morning, Denver!
Do I make your ears
sad? I think you need to go host a TV show in Denver. Some zippy little morning show.
Uh-oh.
1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll-free from anywhere. Jim and I, it makes Jim and I very Lord of the Flies. We want to kill you with a rock.
Oh, great, thanks.
All right. Listen, nobody's in a good mood because this economy is for... Come on! We need an actual senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, an actual economist. Christian Weller is on the phone to help us through the economic muck. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm wondering what a not an actual senior fellow is.
Oh, they keep trying to foist those junior fellows on us, Christian. And we'll have none of it.
Embryonic fellows.
But, you know, Christian, it is an interesting thing, isn't it? In this, I mean, you don't have to be an economist, and everybody knows it's bad out there. It's just bad. You know, everybody knows somebody that's either upside down in their house, that lost their job, that's, right? I mean, one thing after another. I guess the point we're trying to find out is there something you guys know that we don't?
Well, it's easy to be a dismal scientist these days, but the thing is, I think what makes us economists a little bit different from the rest is we're trying to figure out, okay, well, how do we get into this mess, but more importantly, how we're going to get out of it, and trying to sift through the tea leaves of the economic news and say, okay, well, what's going on here? And what clearly is going on, what you see in the news all the time, is the stock market is up. And what we're a little less certain is about what's going on with the economy. We get some news that the Federal Reserve yesterday released some news that there are some things popping up and improving a little bit in the manufacturing sector. They're improving a little bit in the housing sector. They're not all that great, but at least we're moving up. We're no longer, like, falling down. So that's And then the big question for everybody is, when will jobs follow? When will we actually see a turnaround in the job market?
Right. I was going to ask you that, Christian. Why do they always say that jobs are the last thing that come back? Why is that?
Well, I mean, what happens is businesses essentially need to see that they actually can sell stuff before, and they need to have some confidence that if they hire more people, that whatever these people produce in terms of making coffee at a Starbucks or producing new cars will actually be sold into the market. That these people,
well, everybody knows they don't actually make coffee at Starbucks, Christian. I think Juan Valdez does all that.
Well, I don't drink coffee, so maybe I need to change my examples. But the main thing here is that business is essentially, they have some workers obviously on hand. They'll just make them work a little longer, a few extra hours, just until they feel confident, okay, well, now is the economy is in a sounder footing and we're going to start hiring again. And that typically takes 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. We have had 3 months now of industrial production improvement. Industrial production is mining, construction, manufacturing, all of that good stuff. And that's been up. Again, that's really good news. But it typically takes 3 to 6 months for that to improve before you see job markets to grow.
Christian, one thing I hear a lot is, you know, it seems like economists on both sides of the aisle seem to say that, you know, the administration has, for the most part, made the right moves, that this stimulus has brought us back from the brink, that we were, you know, looking at a really depression, correct? And that we actually...
Well, then you're talking to different conservative economists than I am, but there are, like, it's hard to say that what the administration did didn't work. I mean, it clearly has worked. The numbers clearly show this. The second quarter economic growth for this year was stronger than economists had expected, even with a stimulus. So that was definitely a lot better. We've seen a big bump in personal income because of the tax cuts and the unemployment insurance and the improvements to Social Security. That has translated now into more spending, and more spending ultimately will mean more confidence among businesses that it makes sense to hire more people and spend more money on investment. So
Christian,
things are moving in the right direction.
So I hate to use the phrase, but so then it will trickle down eventually is what you're saying.
Well, it's more like a trickling up because the way it works is like what this administration did is it gave the money essentially to the people where we felt as economists very confident they will actually spend the money, meaning the unemployed, retirees and other Social Security recipients, lower-income families. That's where all the tax cuts and all the spending was targeted. And that money is went into people's pockets and then now is making it in the economy. And once it gets spent, businesses will then turn around and they're like, oh, there are actually consumers out there, and there's more consumers than we thought there were out there, so let's build a new factory, let's build a new office building, let's hire more people. And we're kind of seeing that happening now, but again, you got to remember that this was a massive crisis. We knew it's going to take some time to get out of it, but we are on the right trajectory right now.
We are seeing some glimmers. It's not the whole things look the darkest just before it goes totally black. You're saying that there are actual glimmers of light that are not a train in the tunnel.
Yeah, no. This is, I mean, you're going to remember, like 12 months ago, I think we're all running around like chickens with our heads cut off because we thought this is the next Great Depression. And we're much calmer, not only in the economy, but also in the financial markets. We're letting banks fail, which was unthinkable 12 months ago because every little bank that was failing was thought to bring down the entire financial house.
Yeah, I mean, the president, you know, was in New York and actually took it to Wall Street a little bit right to their face, didn't he?
Right.
He's like, look, you know, we saved you guys. You got to keep lending the money, you know, whether it's a small business or otherwise, right?
Right, and basically what the financial markets or what the policies managed to do is to unclog the credit markets, and what policies now need to do is unclog the labor market.
Well, there was one good article I read yesterday, I think, in the L.A. Times that the foreclosure crisis is easing because, you know, that's something that didn't make sense to me, Christian, is that, you know, people are having to give up their house and then, you know, then someone else is going to come along and pay the same thing. Like, why aren't they helping people stay in their houses, you know?
Well, there's a number of proposals. This whole mortgage thing is a total mess, largely because what happened was that these mortgages were made, and then once they were made, they were sold off around the world in little bits and pieces. And so that made it very hard to then unwind the problem when somebody went into foreclosure because you didn't know who you needed to talk to sell the house or even rent it out. I mean, part of it was owned by a Norwegian pension fund, the other part, maybe the chimney owned by the German bank, and the rest of the floors owned by some American bank.
Wow.
So that really creates an enormous mess, and it took a number of efforts to figure out, okay, well, how can you incentivize banks, one bank, to put it all back together, and then talk to that bank about how you renegotiate the mortgage, how you get new people in, how you sell the house. We're moving in that direction, but it took some time to figure out all the legal nooks and crannies on this one.
Christian Weller, you are a very smart economist, a senior fellow, and I loved your work in American Psycho.
Oh, stop it.
What? Oh, anyway.
Christian Bale.
Oh, no, pardon
relation.
Me.
Christian. We're all related to each other.
I love him in RoboCop, too.
Christian Weller, thanks for taking time for us. We hope you'll come back.
Thank you.
There it goes. He and I are done professionally for right now. Just for right the second, and the next time he comes on, we're back.
Yeah.
Okay.
And speaking of movie stuff, how about this for, you know, stimulus of the economy? If you build it, they will come.
there you go.
Huh?
Buddy and
I never saw that
he wrote
movie.
That just now.
I never
Buddy
saw
in Columbus.
Movie.
Hey, you guys were talking on Iran a little earlier.
Yes. Oh, how? John Bolton says Israel should nuke them. That would help things.
Yeah.
That would help settle things down in the Middle East.
Well, but you see, we got like an adult as president now.
Yes.
And he talked to the other adult leaders of the world, and they talked to the Iranians. And you know what we can do right now? We can go to any place we want in the country, any time we want, and inspect whatever we want, and they're used uranium in Iran. They're shipping it to France.
Yeah, the UN just announced a deal, correct?
Yeah, I mean, is there no stopping this madman?
Yeah, he's a madman, Obama. You got to stop that. Rampant diplomacy. Tim in Madison, real quick, on the White House war on Fox and yada yada. Hello, Tim.
Good morning. You know, I travel quite a bit for my job, and it amazes me that, you're right, I can't get MSNBC in a lot of hotels that I'm at. I only get Fox.
I travel a lot, and I'm hardly ever can I get MSNBC in a hotel.
I know, another thing that I really enjoyed, because I was actually staying in a hotel room yesterday, I watched Fox, and you know, I like how they're now saying that we should cut the minimum wage in this country, so that way it would help stimulate jobs that way, so that way companies don't have to pay their employees as much.
Yep. All right, honey. By the way, I love what they do. Jim, you probably noticed this in hotels. What they do now is, like, in order not to seem political, they just get CNN. See, they don't take Fox.
Go right down the middle. Yeah.
With Lou Dobbs and et cetera. Yeah.
And someone pointed out that MSNBC has 3 hours of Joe Scarborough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the morning.
Which is.
Yeah. All right.
So,
43 minutes.
That's not fair and balanced.
If only there was some other 3 hour morning solution.
Stephanie Miller.
Jim, stop making this about me. 43 minutes after the hour. Back with more Right Wing World as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
All 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Mike in Madison, Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Michael.
Hi, guys. I think you're going to need a new method of teaching. After listening to that first caller, you gave him facts, figures, examples of print and media, and every one of these empty-headed fools pauses and says, I don't understand.
Yep. You know what's interesting? Hammer. You know, Mike, and the funny thing is, we're not whining like Fox News. I just had dinner with Ed and Wendy Schultz when I was in New York and I did his show. And, you know, we're talking about the state of progressive radio. It's like, it is what it is. So there's a glass ceiling right now. I mean, unfortunately, you know, there's whatever there are, 50, 60 stations. Until something changes, that's what it is, you know.
Let's break that ceiling.
And, you know, Rush Limbaugh has 600, and that's the way it is right now. But, you know.
No sense crying about
it. But to try to pretend it's an even playing field and, oh, gee, how come Rush Limbaugh has more listeners? It's like, come on.
It is hilarious.
All right. Thank you, baby.
Well, that's sort of a tautological argument. They say, well, you don't have as many listeners, which is why you don't get more stations. And you don't have more stations, so you don't have that many listeners.
Yeah, and I love when they trumpet the success of conservative show. It's because look how many stations they have.
Yeah.
It's like, does any conservative dope can get 400 stations?
Right. Because that's the corporate message, and corporate America likes what they're hearing on the right-wing stations.
Yeah. By the way, if you have a conservative show that doesn't make it in syndication, oh, boy.
Then you got problems.
Talking
just
to you,
saying.
Brian and the judge.
We're not mentioning any names.
I'm sorry. Oops.
Brian Maloney.
From
anyway.
After that, we're not mentioning any names.
Okay, but that's it. Bill O'Reilly. Anyway. I can't remember. Oh, Bill interesting. Lynch. Mike is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, because, for instance, where we're on a big FM signal there in Madison, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, it's the number one talk show and the talk station in the market.
So when we get a good station with a powerful signal where more people can hear us, we get bigger ratings.
Huh?
Wow.
That must be a coincidence.
Tracy in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Trace.
Hi, guys. Right on, Mike, if you still listen. And actually, that's what I was calling for, to make the same comment. You know, it cracks me up. You sit here and give them facts, and they want to ignore the fact. And then to sit here and compare Rachel and Keith with Bill O'Reilly, I mean, it's a joke. Rachel and Keith are based on factual information. It may be their opinion, but the opinion is based on real data,
right.
Not some talking point and some theory you have to want to throw out in the atmosphere. It's irritating.
Right. Exactly. Thank you. Let's go to Christian in Madison, Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Christian.
Hello. Actually, I'm calling in response to a caller from about 15 minutes back. He was going on about Fox's ratings and Russia's ratings, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, your show is not eighth grade humor.
Thank you.
It's very informative, and it actually saved my life during the Bush's years.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I am saving America one fart joke at a time. Thank you.
So, actually, I just wanted to say to him, if he's still listening, we weren't whining back during the Bush's administration, because the difference between Fox and the quote-unquote left is that we actually are fulfilling our obligation, and we're still reporting the important news that's going on in the world, things like military bases getting attacked in Pakistan that have nuclear weapons.
And, Kristen, the other thing is that, you know, obviously Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow will take on the Obama administration on mm-hmm. things they disagree on, that you never saw that at Fox News during the Bush administration. All right, honey, thank you. Let's go to Coco in Jacksonville, Florida. Hello, Coco. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Oops. Hey, he hit the wrong line. Coco.
Hi.
Hi,
Stephanie.
Yes.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Just wanted to let you know, I was down at Disney World just recently. And
me too.
They do not have Fox listed on their TV channels.
Good.
I guess they want everybody to be upbeat and happy while they're there.
Yeah. So. It's not a small-minded world after all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops, I thought that's where my rim shot used to be.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy.
You got explosion in my rim shot.
You blew up It's a Small World.
Not a bad idea, actually, man.
Oh, no, stop. No. Come on, the kids love it.
That's how old I've gotten. I can't even figure out where the right button is in my box anymore. This morning, I almost yelled at Chris to get my headphones, and they were on my head.
On her head.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Newty Gingrich, frankly. No, really.
I think they're actually trying to distract the country.
Distract it.
Distract it. If your choice is, imagine you're Rahm Emanuel and think, okay, now tomorrow I can have unemployment rising or a fight with Fox News. And next week I can have health care too expensive or a fight with Rush Limbaugh. Mm. And I think they have a deliberate policy of trying to find a way to keep the news media focused on trivia in order to not deal with the real issues. Because the real issues are all going bad for them right now.
Really? Actually, the big breaking news story, Chris, you probably saw that, is the health care bill, a lot less expensive than they had thought.
Yeah.
Even actually way under what the president had asked for. Huh. Interesting.
And way more people than originally thought are for the public option.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Jim, it's time for another edition of what the hell did Dennis Miller mean by this?
This is Nixonian. I look at Axelrod and I look at Rahm Emanuel, and Rahm Emanuel might as well be wearing a brush cut like H.R. Haldeman, and Axelrod should just save the stash and he would look like Ehrlichman, because that's who they remind me of. Barack Obama has rabbit ears. It's like in baseball. You remember that guy? You could get under his skin from the dugout. You could flip him out a little. He hears too much. He's got rabbit ears.
Oh, he's the guy in the dugout with the rabbit ears.
Which is
why
he's like Haldeman
had brush cut and
why?
Because Ehrlichman didn't have a mustache, so he didn't look like that.
You know
guy.
What it is, though, Jimmy's always it's chuckling just, slightly. So.
That's how you know it's funny, because I'm laughing at myself.
Because someone still has to, I guess.
I suppose. I made Nixon-era references. That's how cool I am.
More importantly, why is it funny?
I don't know.
Okay.
I always thought that he was the worst host of Weekend Update in Saturday Night Live.
Seth Meyers is much better.
Seth Meyers is great.
Chachi. Babe. Rabbit ears.
Dennis Miller always had a habit of laughing at his jokes on Weekend Update, and that bothered me to no end.
Because that's what they do on newscasts, Chachi.
Okay. Hannity on the...
The business of this White House is division, and the White House's war against the Fox News Channel is the latest evidence that it will throw its principles by the wayside to ensure that everybody falls in line with their agenda. And with the exception of Fox News, the other networks, they're receiving gold stars on their White House report cards.
Oh,
I'd love to see the teleprompter go out on Hannity.
Let me get this straight. So Sean Hannity is talking about throwing your principles by the wayside so you can fall in line with one vision so you can maybe get a big paycheck or something.
That sounds like working for Fox News.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So sometimes even saying things you know to be untrue, but because they're in line with a vision that would...
Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
Michelle Malkin on the...
Certainly what was presented by the stenographers and the whitewashers in the mainstream media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the political analysts at so-called news organizations on other parts of the cable airwaves that spent most of their time deifying this man instead of probing not only his brief history in public office, but of course all of the people that he has surrounded himself with.
The cable airwaves?
Yeah.
The cables.
That's an oxymoron.
Uh-huh.
Because cable doesn't go over the airwaves. But, you know, that aside.
Is that like a dope with acne?
All right. Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear.
Candidate Obama articulated in 2002 that Afghanistan was the most important war, was the good war. He articulated that as a Senate candidate. He articulated it as a senator. He articulated it as a presidential candidate. Then became president, adopted the Bush administration's policy proposals, then went out and trashed them, and now seems to not know what he's going to do. There was an article in Politico today that he's struggling to come up with a time frame for his decision. So he's indecisive about his indecisiveness. I mean, this is getting to be, as somebody said to me, like a Far Side cartoon.
With talking animals.
So you have a simple solution for Afghanistan?
Let's hear it. Well, I thought John Kerry had a good idea. It's only November 7th, is the actual election. Might be good to see who's actually in charge. To see, who we have a partner in the defense ministry and,
Whatever.
Okay. All right. That concludes Right Wing War. Oh, by the way, Michelle Malkin, here's some fun facts for you. The only stenographer I think they've ever had in the mainstream media at the New York Times, for instance, was Judith Miller.
Yes.
She actually was the stenographer for the Bush administration and their lies about weapons of mass destruction. FYI, GTK, make a note of it.
I'd like to see her try to shoot down any of Rachel Maddow's arguments. Let's see her go head-to-head with Rachel Maddow.
Yeah,
Why won't Michelle Malkin return any of Rachel Maddow's calls either?
Yeah.
I think she's a skeered.
Yeah, and rightly so. Rhodes Scholar.
I think she could wipe the floor with her and Liz Cheney at the same time.
Yes.
57 minutes.
Yes, while drinking a cocktail.
Exactly.
And mixing one.
A giant... a giant one made by Kent. All right. 57 minutes after the hour, Representative Tim Ryan, Democrat of the great state of Ohio, next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Was down 14 points, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. Brand new pictures and everything up. And you can tweet me there. It's SM Show is the Twitter thing.
Twitter.com/SM Show.
Whatever.
Exactly. All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right, lots of doings on health care yesterday. Very encouraging. Oh, give me Nancy Pelosi yesterday, the House leader, talking about the public option.
And, we will have a bill passed well before Thanksgiving and hopefully in time for it to be signed. The work done with the Senate for it to be signed before Thanksgiving, but certainly this year.
Let's hope so. And she also is talking about the most liberal version of the public option is the one she's for. All right. If only we could check in with someone that knows a little something about something. Representative Tim Ryan of the great state of Ohio. Good morning, Congressman.
Good to be with you.
Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
So I'm feeling plucky about health care. Is Leader Pelosi right? Are we going to get this done by Thanksgiving?
Well, I think we're definitely going to get something out of the House, and you know the Senate's starting to move with some version. So I think there's a real possibility this could be done by Thanksgiving. But you know, certainly this year we're going to have health care reform in the United States of America, and I think you know it's a pretty exciting time.
Well, you know, and I like the fact that you know Democrats are standing strong. You know, Leader Pelosi said yesterday she wants to move forward with a more liberal version of the health reform bill that would peg you know the public option to Medicare. What's your take on that?
Well, I think we've got to be careful because, you know, with Medicare, a lot of doctors get paid less than the actual service they provide. So I think we've got to be careful with doctors. I think there was Medicare, Medicare plus five, and then some negotiation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm not greedy. I'm needy. So I just want the public option in there, and then we can, over time, tweak it. You know, one of the things we need to remember is when we put Social Security in, it started at 65. There were no bells and whistles for disability and all these other things.
Yeah.
And the average age was life expectancy was 60 years old.
Right.
But the key is you get it in there and you establish it, you establish the public option, and then you build on it from there.
And Congressman, I agree. I mean, I've heard this about whether it's civil rights or Social Security or whatever. You know, we have had to strengthen things over time. But, you know, I agree with Leader Pelosi on this, that I think you've got to go in with this. You know, we can, like you say, try to get the best we can out of the gate.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And she's doing it. And I think out of the House, we're going to, you know, I'm one of the ones who are supporting very, very strongly a public option to be in there. I think if we're really going to address the cost issues, that we need a public option in there.
Congressman, I got an interesting question for you. I have a friend. You know, we marinate in this stuff all day, you and I, and, you know, we're so used to, oh, public option, public option. A friend of mine, very smart, and her dad, very smart, she said, we were having a discussion yesterday. She said, we don't really understand what it is, the public option or health, or what the debate is on health care. I mean, that is something we've been fighting, isn't it? Can you explain it easily for people that are confused by this health care debate?
Sure. I think we made a mistake out of the gate. We should have just called it Medicare and, you know, a Medicare option.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that would have made things very easy to understand. But basically, this exchange we're setting up is like a supermarket. And there's going to be the Surgeon General is going to put a panel together that's going to create an essential benefits package. So every private insurer that goes to the supermarket to offer a plan is going to have a base level plan that they're going to have to offer. So you're not paying through the nose and not getting any coverage. Then they're going to have the basic plan. They're going to have Cadillac plan, premium plan. They'll have all different plans. So United Health and these other insurers will go to the supermarket and offer these plans. So people can go and have competition. What we want to do is include in all of those private plans that are going to be there at the supermarket the public option, and it'll just basically be Medicare. There won't, you know, we won't have to pay a CEO $150 million a year. We won't have to spend money on marketing out of the public option. All the money will go back into health care.
Makes sense. But Congressman, I think the question I hear the most is, and maybe the problem is, we don't have one bill yet. You know, what is your best guess in whatever bill we finally get, who can get the public plan? Because how does it help people if they can't choose it?
Well, they will be able to choose it. I mean, everyone who doesn't have health insurance, and then small businesses over time, bigger businesses will be able to get into the supermarket, and anybody who wants it will be able to go over there and get it. It's going to be a choice. No one's going to be, you know, the Republicans try to say that you're going to force everybody into the public option. And like you said, they prey on the fact that people don't really know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be your choice. You can go to United Health and get their essential benefits package. You could go to another healthcare company and get their premium package, or you can go to the public option and get several of the packages they may offer.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be forced to do anything.
One of the things I love is you guys are going after the antitrust exemption for the insurance industry, which I've often wondered how did they ever get that in the first place?
Yeah, it's like Major League Baseball, and the insurance industry has it, you know, and so I hope we stick to our guns on that one too, because I think that would be something that, you know, but we all know what's going on here. You know, we all know the price fixing. We all know the pre-existing conditions. We all know the denial of coverage and changing of policies and all that stuff.
Right.
And this is our real opportunity in America to fix it and hold these guys accountable.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, I was reading one story before you go, Congressman, today that I just, you know, when you look at these polls, one after another, so whatever, at least 60% of the American people want the public option.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get, you know, Olympia Snow said, oh, you know, I think finishing this up by November is being optimistic. And yeah, you know, why are we doing all of this for one Republican vote? I mean, clearly the Republicans are trying to slow walk this to death, including Olympia Snow. And,
yeah,
you know, she's talking about, oh, we need amendments. It's like, please, we've accepted zillions of Republican amendments. They've made it more than abundantly clear they are not interested in any form of health care reform. You know, so what are we doing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, in the Senate's a whole different animal, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, we want the process to be open, and I think it has been. I think they've offered amendments. We've watched it on C-SPAN, but it's go time now.
Oh, yeah.
You're with us or against us.
God bless Harry Reid, Congressman, but, you know, I think I just read in his district, 85% want the public option, and he's like, oh, yeah, well, it might maybe be in the bill. We don't really know.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, what?
The more and more people learn about it. Like you said,
right,
in August, there was like 30 or 35% approval of the public option, but people started to gradually figure out what it was. Now it's up to 60% approval, and when you talk about it as Medicare, it's like 65 or 70% approval.
Yep.
So,
yep,
you know, we had a little marketing issue early on. We probably should have started a little bit different, but as people learned about it, I think they like it, and it's not the big bogeyman everyone's trying to make it out to be.
If we had started with Congressman Tim Ryan on the Stephanie Miller Show, this all would have been a lot easier. We have this has now been a teachable moment brought to you by the Stephanie Miller Newscast. Thank you, Congressman. Please come again, won't you?
You got it. Take care.
All right. There he goes. Representative Tim Ryan of the state of Ohio. There! See, I like how he explained it. You know, they're still going to have the, you know, as they call them, the Cadillac plans, the, you know.
If you want them, absolutely.
Yes, if Ann Coulter needs a new penile implant or a scrotal lift or something.
Stephanie Louise
Miller. She can get
Miller
a plan that covers stuff like that. What? Okay. Or
tricky,
if, for instance, you know, Carrie Prejean, the former Miss America, Miss whatever her name is, Homophobe
Miss
America,
USA.
Oh, something.
Oh.
Yes.
You mean Anita Bryant?
The pageant bought her some new boobuses.
Yes.
And she has not repaid them, so I don't know if she has to return them now.
When did you get boobs?
Okay, former Miss California, Carrie Prejean.
St. Carrie of La Jolla.
Yes.
She has not paid for her boobies.
Fake boobuses.
What is your position on breast implants?
God was in my head and in my heart saying, Carrie, do not compromise this.
Thank you, boob lady!
According to the Miss USA pageant, she owes them $5,200 for the breast implants.
And God chose me for that moment.
And breasts that seem to say, hey, look at these.
This has just gotten so ugly. It's tit for tat. It's
exactly.
Tit for tat. It's hilarious. Excuse that choice of words there.
The pageant has filed suit saying she verbally promised to repay the loan for the aforementioned boobuses. Can they repossess them? I don't know.
Just yank them right out of them?
I don't know.
My breasts are really strong.
But it all seems so juvenile, don't you think?
Attention. We're looking for the chick with big boobs.
Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland.
Hooray!
All right. Oh, Chris and Yankton, Jim, has sent us the template. These are the where's my phone? Here it is. This is the Dennis Miller template, so we can better understand his
rants,
humor. Oh. Chris and Yankton, Dennis Miller template, a snarky political statement, obscure pop cultural reference, random dictionary word, obscure pop cultural reference, chachi, head waggle, high-pitched giggle. Repeat as necessary. You, too, can be a funny right-wing comedian. High-pitched giggle, Chris and Yankton. Thank you, Chris.
Wow. That's the formula.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Okay, chachi. Okay.
By the way, Michael Moore says call your congressman and have him pass H.R. 3200, Medicare for All.
If Michael Moore says that, I would do it. Yes, sirree. All right. Thank you, Jim, for that. Speaking of entertainment, Simon Cowell, his mom says he was a difficult child.
What a shock. Yeah, who didn't see that?
Julie Cowell says the famously caustic music mogul started insulting her when he was just five. When he was very small, I bought a new hat and asked him if I looked nice in it. He replied, "You look like a poodle."
Oh.
We have some audio on this.
Mum, lose the hat. You look like a poodle. And that was the worst Cornish pasty I've ever had. It was like eating a hollowed-out brick that had been filled with dog vomit. And who taught you how to make a bed? Helen Keller?
Oh.
I would say you should try using an iron occasionally, but then you might try to answer it. Those drapes are hideous, by the way. And if this is your version of tidying up, I'd hate to see what a tornado could do in this place, apart from improving it tremendously.
I've had enough of you, you naughty, naughty boy!
That was the worst spanking I've ever received. I barely felt it. Better.
Yeah, Cornish pasties do taste like hollowed-out bricks with dog food inside.
No.
Yes, they do.
Depends on what you put in it. Well,
you know, we all know things are bad out there. Eddie Murphy's got to sell his $30 million New Jersey estate for only $15 million, Jim.
Oh, no.
You've got that on you. Wow, things are bad out there. You remember Bubble Hill?
Who?
That's what he called it.
Oh.
It's his posh seven-bedroom Englewood, New Jersey mansion. It went on the market for $30 million. He has now slashed $15 million off the asking price. Still no buyers. The lavish gated estate, known as Bubble Hill, comes complete with a bowling alley, theater, recording studio, full-size racquetball court, indoor pool, elevator, carriage house with gym.
I thought Bubble Hill was the name of the hooker he picked up on Santa Monica Boulevard.
No, that's entirely different.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like it could be.
annual taxes alone, almost $200,000.
Whoa!
The grounds span 5 acres, and the main house is 25,000 square feet.
What? Who needs 25,000 square feet?
Eddie Murphy, obviously.
Apparently nobody. That's the problem.
Well, yeah.
He can't even unload it for $15 million.
And for all of his characters.
You know. Yes. Yeah. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, a Scotiamore celebrity stack.
He runs from room to room in different makeup for all the characters and just, anyway, whatever.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, if you think you're high-strung about the state of the economy, the housing crisis, we have a celebrity stack that involves both Christian Bale and Tom Cruise.
Oh, dear.
When we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bow. Sandy in Napa, California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Sandy.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
The conservative point of view at Fox is not the problem any more than the liberal view at MSNBC is that they lie.
Yes, that's true.
They're not entitled to their own facts, you know, the old saying. So
yeah, well, no, that's exactly, you know, you're exactly right about that. And I think Jim's made this point that MSNBC, at least they do try to correct stuff if they get a fact wrong, you know, whereas Fox has been caught over and over and over again and stuff. They never retract.
They're repeating the same lie.
Yeah, and we were saying, Sandy, one of the most egregious examples where this started a long time ago is during the campaign when they reported that President Obama went to a madrasa as a child, and even when it had been disproven, John Gibson was saying, oh, probably the, you know, the people that say it's not true went to a madrasa or something. You know, it was absurd. All right, Adam in Los Angeles on the healthcare debate. Hey, Adam, welcome.
Hi there. My point is, I think Obama has been really shrewd here. He's truly a politician, where he's waited in the sides. You know, he's kind of let the Republicans yell, scream, destroy themselves, destroy their own party.
I've talked about this, Adam, but somebody wrote a piece on that, on Ropadope, you know, and on the how the president never engages until the end. And, you know, nobody's ever made a living on betting against him. So we'll see, right?
Yeah, you might as well let them crash themselves, you know, let them destroy themselves, and then at the same time let the Democrats actually get organized, because that's been their hardest thing to do.
Well, Adam, you know, you make a good point, because I gotta say, I bet you behind closed doors the president's laughing his ass off at these polls. Look at all this screaming over the summer in the town halls. The numbers are exactly the same. It's done absolutely nothing.
And it's just pushed the middle of the roaders away from the Republican Party and towards the Democrats.
Yep.
It's brilliant.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Rick, my right-wing love muffin in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Rick.
Hey, thanks a lot. And by the way, I went to your website. You are hot. I didn't expect to see that.
Why? Thank you, Rick.
Why are you guys so angry, though?
What? I'm not angry.
You guys are mad. You should be happy.
You know, I hear this all the time. I hear this all the time from Rush Limbaugh that liberals are all angry and unhappy. And we're the home of happy, clappy liberalism, Rick, if you listen.
Well, I do listen twice a week because I take my son to school at 6 o'clock in the morning. You're the only one on.
I'm the only one on? No. Good.
I actually like to hear the other side, and you are very entertaining.
Well, you need to listen more than twice a week.
I can't do that, sweetie.
Sweetie.
Listen, Lamb Chop Lips, you can listen to me more than twice a week and you'll like it.
But I like your pictures. Keep All putting right. some more. You're very
All right.
pretty.
Thank you. Why do you think I'm angry?
Well, not you. You sound liberals, and my liberal friends here in California, because I'm always fighting with them.
Yes.
They're so angry about everything.
Maybe they just don't like you.
Well, yeah, maybe you insult them. Maybe you insult them and they
Maybe
just
you
get
start
defensive.
By saying, you liberal.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's a pejorative there, Rick.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not that smart. I don't know what that word means. But when you call somebody a liberal, it's like the biggest insult you could say. You should be proud
of
that
When you
word.
Say it with that tone of voice,
I
it's
don't
a
think
pejorative.
It's, I don't think it's an insult.
Well, but the gentleman, whatever the gentleman's name is here, he takes it as an insult when I say liberal.
When you say it with that tone of voice,
liberal. Also, we're back to the now we're into this tone thing.
How about, you know, I call you a right-wing wacko.
I get angry when you know, people smear people unfairly. So when, you know, the right wing says something that's untrue, I don't like it. But I'm not, in general, I'm not angry.
Well, my liberal friends are very, I don't know if I said it with the right tone that time, but my liberal friends get very upset the second I say something about the anointed one.
because you say like irritating that. Things like that. I love you, Rick. Okay.
And they're unhappy because he's not a raving liberal.
Right.
Obama is a centrist.
Yes, he is. Very much so.
You're real purdy.
Stop pretending that he's a communist.
You're real purdy, sweetie. I let you do a couple times a week. There now.
You're real, some coffee. You're a real birdie for an angry liberal.
All right, Jiggles. Listen, you liberals, just bring me my pad.
Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Oh, you get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
All right. 28 minutes after the hour. All right. Back with a skosh more celebrity stack, which listen. It's not a lot of celebrity stack left, but it is big enough to contain both Kim Kardashian's ass, Tom Cruise, and Christian Bale.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
There's only one thing to do.
What's that? We need to party.
Oh, howdy. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. George in Gary, Indiana on the president. Hey, George, welcome.
Hello, mama.
Hello, baby.
I miss you. I miss talking to you. Listen, your caller a couple of callers ago is one that prompted me to call about the shrewdness of our great president. I don't know if anybody mentioned it before, but if you notice, right after this big brouhaha over the fundraiser with the bankers, within a day or so, I don't even think the ink on the checks was dry, and he was already dinging them for some money on those bonuses and pay.
Uh-huh, yep.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that's why I hope to God that this thing about the mandate, I can't believe this president would take a person like me who's self-employed and barely made $24,000 last year mm-hmm. and force me to buy insurance and not have a public option for me to choose from.
Yep, I absolutely hear you. All right, Kim Kardashian's ass.
Why is this news?
Because I say. Because the superficial.com is reporting it.
Okay.
Whom I love. They write, since it's no fair stupid Kourtney gets to have one and hog all the attention, Kim Kardashian wants a baby before she hits 30, which is, I guess, coming up. Superficial.com writes, I'm sure nothing will bring Kim Kardashian more joy than giving birth to a beautiful baby, immediately handing it off to a team of Mexican nannies, and then spending the next year hiring the greatest plastic surgeons of our time to restore her ass. I hear one of them even built a time machine to go into the future, since our current ass enhancement technologies fall short of such a task. I'm not even sure there is a Cadillac health plan for that.
No, there's not.
I mean, Ann Coulter can get a scrotal lift, I'm just saying, but I don't know that there is a... All right. D-listed.com.
You're really pissing off the trans community.
No, I'm not.
People who drive Trans Ams?
Yes. Yeah, because there's such a large community of those.
Ann Coulter is probably having a midlife crisis and driving a Porsche ever since her last penile enhancement.
Stop
okay.
it!
What? At a Scientology event in England, Tom Cruise apparently got all huffy over protesters outside the venue. He told a friend, "They're squirrels! Stuck in an electronic incident. It makes me so angry!"
Huh?
In Scientology jargon, a squirrel is a bad, bad traitor who changes the techniques of Scientology. Or
whatever.
Something. Okay, here's something that may not surprise anyone. Tom Cruise was used as an inspiration for Christian Bale's character in American Psycho.
Oh, I can totally see that.
The director was...
Was there a couch in American Psycho? I haven't seen it.
He used Tommy as his inspiration for the serial killer in American Psycho. The director of the movie said was talking about how she developed the character mm-hmm. with Christian Bale. He said, one day he called me and he'd been watching Tom Cruise on David Letterman, and he had just had this very intense friendliness with nothing behind the eyes, and he was really taken with his energy. Cue Tommy screaming to Christian, "You and me are done professionally." Yes, I think that might happen. Mm-hmm.
This, an episode of Celebrity Deathmatch. Welcome back to Celebrity Deathmatch and our main event, Christian Bale versus Tom Cruise in the biggest and baddest pop culture punch-up since Joy Behar took Elizabeth Hasselbeck to the altar of pain.
That's right, Johnny. These two are never all that close, but since Bale has admitted he used Cruise as an inspiration for his role in American Psycho, the gloves have come off.
Well, there they come. Bale at 6 feet, 198 pounds, and as cut as I've ever seen him.
That's right, Johnny. He's been known to slim down to skin and bones for a role, but he's in top form tonight.
And there's Cruise at about 5 foot nothing, and oh boy, he's really having trouble getting rid of those love handles and man boobs. I guess Scientology does not have a technology for that.
All right, boys, I want a good clean fight, and I don't want any bitch slapping below the belt. Let's get it on!
Ding, ding, ding. Wow, looks like Cruise didn't listen to the instructions at all. He's bitten Bale in the crotch, and he's hanging along on like a rabid pit bull.
That's right, Johnny. Cruise is a dirty fighter. A dirty, dirty little man who looks like he's used this technique before.
That would explain the knee pads. But Bale...
Oh!
Bale is taking it in stride. La-di-da-di-da! You're a squirrel stuck in an electronic incident! You and me are... No. Bleeping done professionally. Now, and Bale is letting Cruise have it, pounding him mercilessly. And looks like he's unleashed his inner psycho. But what's this? A silvery spaceship has descended into the ring. Is this the long-awaited return of Balloon Boy?
No, Johnny. It appears that Xenu himself has made an appearance. He's scooping up the battered remnants of Cruise and taking him back to the Galactic Confederacy. Could this be the end of Cruise's fighting career? To say nothing of his film career.
That's already over, Nick.
And there you have it. Join us next time when the Kardashians go up against the Baldwins on Celebrity Deathmatch.
Joanna in Boston begs to differ with our right-wing caller. She's a liberal, and she is angry. Grr!
I am angry. You know, we've had a mess, thanks to the Republicans, that we've had to clean up now for the second time. We've had the highest deficits from Republican presidents, and mm-hmm. yet the Democrats are the tax and spenders. We have money to go to Iraq, but we don't have money for health care. They're blocking that. I mean, enough is enough.
Who's the angriest liberal in the world?
I am. him.
All right, good girl.
Well, yeah, good point, though.
You know, I mean, but the president's been doing it with a sense of humor. You know, he's been saying, well, you know,
get him up.
He left this mess, and I'm not cleaning it up fast enough. You know?
Somebody get him up.
Get him up. Exactly. That was a great speech. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're telling me, Nancy, you don't like the way we're holding them up. Okay. Let's go to Robert in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Rob.
Hey, hi. How are you doing? I'm calling from Red County in Northern California, and I'm a former chair of the Democratic Central Committee as well as the VFW post commander, so you get a wide range here.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, I am done talking with right-wingers. I am so tired with these people who are, after 8 years...
You and them are done professionally, correct?
We're done, yes. Professionally. I am not going to countenance their discussions anymore. It's like talking to two-year-olds who want to run out in the street and you're trying to explain to them why you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, though, we both agree that you're hot. So.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
And she does have a spectacular ass.
Oh, why, thank you. And even Rush thinks that, even though I don't half the time understand what he's talking about. However,
she knows.
Stephanie Miller, who is a babe on some days. She knows what I mean.
What?
Although,
okay.
when you are on set at MSNBC, mm-hmm. there is a spectacular shot of your ass.
Oh, I heard there was an ass cam when I
there
was at MSNBC.
A total ass cam.
Ah, good to know.
You need to go back on that show more
All
often.
All right. Brian in my right-wing love muffin in Illinois. Hi, Brian. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good, sir.
I think that the polls are misleading, that what they're not saying is what the real goal is complete government takeover, and I think if a lot of people knew that.
And how do you know that?
Polls, well, because I got Democratic friends that don't agree with complete government takeover.
That's scientific.
You know
what? Okay, you're just guessing that that's what's going to happen, and why is that?
You know, we don't want that. You know, I'm
right,
sure,
but that's not what
reform,
we're proposing.
But
what,
we don't want.
But how do you know that's going to happen?
Well, it's obvious. It's common sense, you know.
How?
Common
How?
Sense. Why would a company keep their insurance if they could push people onto this public option? Why would they? Why, you know what I'm saying?
Why would a company
why
what?
Why would you? Even I live in Rochester, Minnesota. Now Mayo Clinic supports the public option.
Good.
My wife works at...
Yeah, I mean, if everything ran like the Mayo Clinic, we'd be in good shape, don't you think?
Well, I can tell you some things about Mayo. It's a great facility, but I tell you what, they actually denied my wife because she has a bad valve in her leg, and they called it cosmetic. So you tell me that this public option isn't going to not deny people?
No, that would be
that's
part of what's in the legislation.
That,
is, you know, nobody can deny.
They will, trust me.
It's going to fix
trust
what's
me.
Currently wrong with the healthcare system, including denying people for pre-existing
right.
conditions.
Yeah, well, that's
well, wait a minute. We don't have a government takeover now, and your wife was denied, correct?
I don't care about Republican, Democrat. It's common sense.
Right. It is common sense.
Right. So your wife was denied under what is not a government program.
Yeah, that's Mayo. That's Mayo, and Obama uses Mayo as their motto. Come on now.
Right, but what's in all of the legislation is that you cannot be denied
right.
any longer for pre-existing.
That's exactly
well,
what
that's
we need.
It's just not
reform.
Reality. You know what I mean? It's just, okay. I'm sorry.
So you're for killing people? Letting people die?
Conservative, Democrat, it don't matter. Republican, Democrat. The point is they want
die.
Complete government takeover. That's what you want.
Okay, but
you just keep saying
why
that?
Do you keep
what?
Saying that? You're not basing it on anything. What? How is it going to be a government takeover?
I've been listening to you guys. I listen to both sides. I mean, I've listened to
Obama. Do you think the private insurance industry is doing a good job with healthcare in the United States?
Some ways.
Which ways?
Well... But, I tell you what about those people that are able to get things paid for right away, and then you got Mayo that it takes them 2 or 3 months,
because
you know, or what about Medicare where they actually won't pay the doctors what they got coming to them? Don't you think they're going to do that? They're going to set prices?
Brian, 45,000 Americans died last year because they don't have health insurance.
Come on now.
That's not an answer.
You're cherry picking.
All right, Brian. All right.
Cherry picking.
I'm cherry picking that crazy Harvard study again.
Yeah, because they're not smart at Harvard.
Whatever. Okay.
Well, clearly you're for a government takeover of everything.
I guess I am.
Obvious from what you were saying there.
Clearly.
Huh?
Okay. 43. 43.
Oh, come on now.
Da, 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 da.
Da, di, da, di, da.
You know, there could be only one thing that's making Bill O'Reilly's head explode more than future Senator Al Franken, and that is current Senator Al Franken. And what he's doing now as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's a distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John in Durham, North Carolina, on our friend Lou Dobbs. Hi, John.
Yeah, the Fox Lies channel is safe from having the lowest rated possible show because, and this is no joke, CNN says you can now listen to Lou Dobbs in Spanish.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure that'll be a wildly popular feature of the Lou Dobbs program. Kevin in St.
Regresan a la casa, Mexicanos. That'll be his show, pretty much.
I understand. Kevin in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hello, Kev.
Hello, Steph and the Mooks. How are you guys today?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to answer back to the right-wing love muffin in L.A. that I would take the anointed one now over the appointed one from the left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a joke about how George Bush was.
Not elected twice.
Appointed, and he wasn't really elected. Okay, let's go to Maria in California. You're on the Stephanie. Maria in California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get off the cell phone.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Maria.
I just want to let our little right-wingers know that my premiums just went up an additional $200 a month starting the 2010 year.
Zoinks.
For my so-called private insurance.
Why do you hate America?
And get off the cell phone, Maria Shriver. All right. Thank you, honey.
Nah. And things of this nature.
Get off the phone and all of this.
All
and
right.
These kinds of things.
Exactly. All right.
Things of this nature.
As you recall, back in the day, when there was only a future Senator Al Franken... When there was only a future Senator Al Franken.
Well, I am proud to stand before you as the next senator from Minnesota.
Thing sucks!
Well, imagine, Jim, if he could only have imagined what an amazing job Senator Al Franken was going to do in addition to actually being elected. Did you see this?
Sparring with Mrs. Furchtgott-Rott?
Yes. So the Senate Judiciary... What's her name again?
Furchtgott-Rott.
Ooh, you got a little on you.
Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anita Heimlich?
So the Senate Judiciary Committee held a hearing. One of the highlights of the hearing was when Senator Al Franken questioned Hudson Institute senior fellow Diana
Furchtgott-Rott
about medical bankruptcies. Franken asked her, by the way, she was claiming that moving towards a European-style system of universal health care would increase bankruptcies. He asked about how many medical bankruptcies there were in countries that have universal health care, like Switzerland and France. She repeatedly told Franken she didn't have that number. She'd have to
get that back to you.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Franken said, how many medical bankruptcies because of medical crises were there last year in Switzerland? She literally said, I don't have that number in front of me, but...
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Bring it back to you. Senator Franken. Franken said, I'll tell you how many it was. It's zero. Do you know how many medical bankruptcies there were last year in France? She said, I don't have that number.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
She really did, in a very Caribou Barbie way. Franken said, yeah, the number is zero. Do you know how many there were in Germany? She said, well, from the trend of your questions, I'm assuming the number is zero. Ooh, she's...
Wow.
Nothing gets past her, Mrs.
Yeah, you're very... Furchtgott-Rott.
Furchtgott-Rott?
Furchtgott-Rott.
Is that really a
I
name?
I had that once,
it's
but, you know...
hyphenated name.
I had that once, but there's this antifungal stuff you can get
yeah.
in the foot aisle.
Are you suffering from Furchtgott-Rott?
She is.
You need a spray for your foot to get rid of the Furchtgott-Rott.
I think they make a
anyway,
liniment.
She said, I'm assuming the number is a zero. I don't know the precise number, and I would once again have to...
I'll try to find you some, and I'll bring them to you.
The third time's the charm. Franken said, well, very good. You're very fast. The point is, I think we need to go in that direction, not the opposite direction. Thank you.
And then...
Here are the actual fun facts. Not so fun, actually.
Yeah.
62% of all U.S. bankruptcies in 2007 were due to health care costs. 78% of the people who were driven into bankruptcy by their medical bills had insurance. Just in case you think everything is hunky-dory right with our health care system. Yeah.
Ms. Furchtgotterot seems to think just fine.
The other thing that a fine American Senator Al Franken did that you would think would be kind of nonpartisan, Jim, and sort of kind of common sense. He proposed an amendment to the 2010 Defense Appropriations Bill to withhold defense contracts from companies, quote, which restrict their employees from taking workplace sexual assault, battery, and discrimination cases to court. The amendment, of course, stemmed from the incident where Halliburton employee Jamie Lee Jones was gang-raped by her coworkers, then detained in a shipping container for 24 hours without food, water, or a bed. Warned if she left Iraq for medical treatment, she'd be out of a job.
Boys will be boys.
Although Frank amendments passed, it was opposed by 30 Republican senators who are apparently pro-rape.
Mm-hmm.
Including Senator John Thune, Republican of South Dakota. He explained his vote by arguing he was simply defending the sanctity of using binding arbitration to settle disputes between labor and management. Our buddy Mike Stark asked him, it sounds to a lot of us like you sided with corporations over rape victims.
Yeah.
Thune, it was clearly a politically inspired amendment to make it appear that way. Oh, that tricky Al Franken. You see how he did that? The issue has nothing to do with whether or not arbitration is going to be something that continues to be part of labor agreements. Stark said, well, this was narrowly defined to prevent arbitration in cases of rape. Thune, no, it wasn't. It has to do with the broader issue of whether or not arbitration is going to be a tool available for labor and management to use when it comes to labor agreements. How interesting, because while Thune is committed to the principle that corporations have the right to use binding arbitration to muzzle victims of rape, he has long argued against the use of arbiters in regards to reforming how unions sign labor contracts.
Ah.
In fact, Thune has fashioned himself a chief opponent of the Employee Free Choice Act simply because of, wait for it, arbitration.
Uh-huh.
The only consistency here appears to be he believes both union workers and rape victims don't deserve justice.
Right.
Just in case you were wondering about that
and
particular...
And that's why the Republicans are at 20%.
Right-wing hypocrites!
Did you see our buddy, hip-hop star Michael Steele?
Yo, baby.
He brushed off the new poll that shows just 20% of the American public.
Have I mentioned I like big butts?
Mm-hmm. You cannot lie.
Just 20% of the American public willing to call themselves Republicans. Questioned whether he's concerned about that new Washington Post ABC News poll, Steele responded, not really. What I'm concerned about is how they vote. Yes, well, on Republicans,
says no.
They vote no.
Right.
That's Steele insisted that at the end of the day, you can call yourself whatever you want.
What?
Okay.
What does that mean?
Whatever.
Just how I roll, baby.
He can call himself a hip-hop star.
Yeah.
But he's not.
At any rate, that's how he rolls. And he doesn't really care.
Wow. Wow,
okay.
You other brothers can't deny.
Carla in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carla.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Good.
I'm excited to speak to you, Stephanie and the guys. How are you?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, I'm calling because I saw an article on Yahoo, and we know how the internet is, but a two-year-old was being denied insurance.
Yes.
Because she was too small.
I saw that.
And I have three little boys, and even though I'm like 6 foot plus, my little boys have fallen off the normal growth curve a long time ago, and they're still very tiny. So I'm thinking, my little children, even though they're perfectly healthy, have been all their life, they've never had any of the childhood diseases, they wouldn't have been able to get insurance just because of their small stature. And that's genetics. Their dad's a little tiny guy, but...
Can you imagine that conversation? Your child's too small. Well, she's a child.
Children, by their very nature, are small.
Little single you.
Even you there, calling from the land of the giants, Carla, even yours tend to be small.
Exactly. So I'm normal, right? It's so abnormal shouldn't have insurance. Is that what it is?
I'm guessing I know who puts the star on top of the Christmas tree in your family, Carla.
Looky what he can do.
All right. Thank you, Carla.
What's the Randy Newman song? Short people.
I'm guessing she's not driving a Mini Cooper.
No.
All right.
A Maxi Cooper, maybe.
57 minutes after the hour, Representative Bruce Bailey of the great state of Iowa, next on it's a newsmaker hotline, really.
Yes.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The commercial break discussion at the Stephanie Miller Show, not for the kids. Yikes!
Not at all.
Not for the adults either.
No, so. It's not for most adults.
Not for air, certainly.
6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can come live blog with us. You can tweet me, won't you?
Twitter.com/SMShow.
Mm-hmm.
The Dow is up 51, too.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You can email us all there as well. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right. Lots of big doings on the economy and health care. Representative Bruce Braley of the great state of Iowa on the Newsmaker Hotline. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. It's great to be back on the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for coming. So, you know, I am feeling, what's the word, optimistic on health care this morning. How about you?
No, I'm feeling very optimistic. We had a great press conference this morning to announce a major breakthrough involving getting to 218 in the House with a strong public option.
Oh!
And addressing one of the biggest problems in healthcare delivery, which is an incredibly inefficient Medicare delivery system that rewards states that have very low quality outcomes and punish those that have high quality outcomes. So we announced an agreement that's going to be in the base text that's going to fix that problem and move away from fee-for-services to a quality-based reimbursement system, and I'm very excited by that
development. Oh, terrific. Look at Congressman Braley bringing the breaking news to the Stephanie Miller newscast this morning.
All right. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because I know Speaker Pelosi had said she has long favored the most robust public option. You know, she made clear that's her strategy, is to strengthen her hand when she goes to the House-Senate conference, correct?
That's right. And Speaker Pelosi has been a phenomenal resource to all of us in the caucus to try to get us to that magic number.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the one who drug us into her conference room, locked us in for 5 hours one night and said, you're not getting out until we resolve this problem. And it was her insistence and her recognition of the significance of this problem that got us to the deal that led to this breakthrough.
Right. Well, and she had said, you know, that we were close on the votes, and she said she counts tough.
She does count tough, and she is tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think this is very good news because I don't know how many more polls we need, Congressman, showing the vast majority of the public want the public option. You know, I frankly... I don't quite understand. I was reading a new poll out of Nevada where in Senator Reid's district, and I believe 84% of his Democratic base support a public option for health care reform. So I'm confused on why. What's the hesitation?
Well, it's like many issues that we deal with, whether you're talking about the war in Iraq, health care, public option. Many times the public is way ahead of Congress in grasping the significance of the problems we're trying to face. And in most states like Iowa, where 80% of the market is dominated by two health insurance companies, people realize they don't have any competition.
Right.
And we had a hearing this week on small businesses. We had three witnesses, including one of my constituents who has congestive heart failure. He owns a muffler shop in Davenport, Iowa, and they have had to raise their deductible, Stephanie, from $2,000 to $4,000 to $8,000. For individual coverage, and his only response is to take himself out of his group health plan so his employees can have more affordable health care coverage. People know the system is broken, and it's up to us to fix it.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, Representative. I was saying earlier that I had a friend who's very smart. She said, you know, her dad's very smart, and they were saying they don't really quite understand the public option or what, or people are confused about it. But I think the way you just said it is very easy to understand. If you were, let's say, the only you know, car repair place in your state, you know, if you had no competition, I think that's easy to understand, isn't it?
You could charge whatever you wanted to.
Yeah.
And people would have to pay it because they need you for that service.
Right, exactly. I mean, one thing I love is that the Democrats have launched a drive at both ends of the Capitol to go after this antitrust exemption for private insurers. I know Pat Leahy said it'll put an end to price fixing, bid rigging, and market allocation in the health and medical malpractice insurance areas. Again, fairly easy to understand, right?
Yes, and the remarkable thing is that was one of the things that brought people together at town hall meetings. shockingly.
Right.
It's not a Republican or a Democratic issue. I think people are fed up, and they want to see a change.
Right, absolutely. I was mentioning that, you know, Senator Olympia Snow, you know, unfortunately, she's starting to echo the Republican line that Democrats are rushing reform. She says she thinks it'll be optimistic to finish floor debate by the end of November. She said that may be too short. I think the issue is that everyone has the opportunity to express themselves through amendments. And I think the one thing that people, I don't know in the House, but I know I was looking up that just in the Senate Help Committee alone, they've accepted 161 Republican amendments.
Absolutely. This bill has been amended to death already, and it was absurd to hear some of the Republican leadership in the Senate say, you know, we need to give this bill the same amount of time on the floor that we gave No Child Left Behind, which apparently was 7 weeks in the Senate. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been ample opportunities to have every viewpoint on health care discussed within five separate committee structures. Sure, there should be an appropriate opportunity to be given in both the House and the Senate to offer amendments on the floor, but the American people are expecting and demanding us to get this bill done by the end of the year, and that's why I'm confident that we will.
Yeah, but, well, if we got people like you in there, we will. Congressman Bruce Braley of the great state of Iowa, thanks for taking time for us, as always.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes. You know, it's funny I should mention facts like that, Chris, because I got a hate letter. Scott, Jim, thinks I am outlandish.
Outlandish?
No one uses that word anymore.
Yeah.
No, I just love it. That's why I'm reading it.
Was he William Frawley?
That's the subject line. Outlandish.
Rick, that's outlandish.
Outlandish statement.
First, I wear my pants up to my nipples. Not to do that would be outlandish.
Stephanie. That's how I know I'm in trouble, because it's like the nun and
Stephanie Catholic Louise
school.
Miller.
Stephanie. Once in a while, it starts out condescending. Once in a while, I get a kick out of listening to you airbags talk. Usually I roll my eyes, laugh, and say to myself, silly liberals, they're so clueless. But today I was plain dumbfounded.
Dumbfounded at the outlandishness.
You stated...
I was gobsmacked.
You stated that the Republicans have offered zillions of amendments and they're just slowing the process down. To that, I wonder where you're getting your facts. What zillions of amendments do you refer to of the zillions of amendments that have been offered? Which one, two, or three have the Democrats accepted?
Well, now.
Honey, you should ask, Scott. Here's a little fun fact for you. This will be just in the... I'll switch to fun facts for a moment. This is just... Now, as you know, there are five bills, three in the House, two in the Senate.
Yes. And they're all being worked on reconciliation right now.
Here's a little fun fact for you, Scott, that
if
you may find
your
out
real name.
Just in the Senate Health Committee alone, there were 210 Republican amendments offered. 161 were accepted. I guess that would be better than your facts.
That smacks of bipartisanship.
Ah. Which one, two, or three did they accept?
161 does not a zillion make.
All right.
That's outlandish.
Madam.
Then I think I mentioned at some point that as the congressman I had on said, you know, people can keep their Cadillac plans or whatever they want. And I said, for instance, if Ann Coulter needs a new penal enhancement or scrotal lift.
Stop it!
She would be able to have that kind of coverage. Your comment on Ann Coulter was in complete poor taste.
Yes, it was.
What's your point? I can't believe you would even consider making a comment like this.
Outlandish comment.
It's outlandish.
Yes.
But that seems to be the liberal way. Attack, attack, attack. Because you have nothing else. Zero credibility, zero common ground with the American people, and absolutely nothing in the liberal agenda that's good for America. Well, once again, Scott, only 20% of the Americans call themselves Republicans. It's almost like admitting you have leprosy. Day and age. And apparently, at least 60% of the American people for a public option like I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there's something in the liberal agenda that's good for the American people, and that's a little bit of common ground. As opposed to the zero common ground he thinks I currently have with the American people. And calling! He's like Mr. Spacely. And calling Carrie Prejean a homophobe, how outlandish and ignorant you are.
She's scared of homos. That makes her phobic of homos.
Oh, well, he sent along a Wikipedia definition, so I'll... A homophobe is somebody, by definition, who, quote, has an irrational fear of aversion to or discrimination against homosexuality or homosexuals.
Yes.
That's yes.
I certainly haven't seen Carrie Prejean demonstrate any of those characteristics toward homosexual individuals, have you? Well, yes.
Computer said yes.
I think not wanting homosexuals to have the same rights as everybody else is discrimination. It's very, by definition, wouldn't you think?
Did Scott not see her answer to Perez Hilton's question?
Personally, I think you owe Mrs. Coulter and Mrs. Prejean an apology.
Well, yeah, like that's going to happen.
Scott.
How dare you? I challenge you to a duel.
I never. You are an outlandish. You are an outlandish trollop.
And furthermore.
That was fun. Okay.
How many amendments were accepted?
161.
Okay.
Just in the Senate Help Committee alone.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's hardly a zillion, is it?
You were engaging in
hyperbole.
Yes, Scott, I don't think anyone listening except you dope, thought I meant a zillion, which I don't believe is even a real number.
It's not a real number. It's like a made-up kid number. Much like gajillion.
11-y gajillion.
Oh, gosh. Toying with right-wingers like cat toys. What fun. All right.
Swat.
It is a wheel of right-wing hypocrites. Edition of Guess the Quote, Jim Ward. Who said, and here's the clue, this was in 2006, who said, he's the commander-in-chief, and what I find frankly repugnant about you and some of your fellow Democrats, you have undermined our president. Who said that?
Glenn Beck.
Oh, but that's a good guess. Sean Hannity said that, but that was when you were talking about George Bush. You weren't allowed to say anything.
That's different.
Mm-hmm. Who said in 2007, you know, Norman, those comments while we're at war, while troops are in harm's way, while he's the commander-in-chief, do you not see the outrage in that?
Catherine Hepburn. No, amen.
Jeff Beck.
You
no,
don't get a guess.
No, amen.
Sean Hannity.
The loons. The loons.
You know, Norman.
Well, you got us back.
Big ship
on your... Stop shaking your head so much. I see through the binoculars. Good God.
Who said in 2004, you don't criticize the commander-in-chief in the middle of a firefight. That could be construed as putting U.S. forces in jeopardy and undermining the morale.
Franz Beckenbauer.
No, Bill O'Reilly. But that was when you weren't allowed to say anything.
That foot cream lady that you were talking about earlier.
No! Furchtgottrott.
Yeah.
Diana Furchtgottrott.
All right, here's another poll out, by the way. Associated Press poll is the breaking news. Not news to any of us dog lovers like Mama. Mama's got two Great Pyrenees, it's Max. Mama's three-year-old Great Pyrenees, Max. And my new... Oh, he just turned 9 months old yesterday, Fred. Fred turned 9 months old yesterday. Mm-hmm. Most pet owners would leap into action for an injured pet, even if it meant risking dog breath by going mouth to snout. I do that, and there's not even an emergency. I do it every day, because he's got little gorilla lips. He's got little gorilla lips.
You might get the dog flu.
Fred's got the gorilla lips. Okay, 58% of pet owners, 63% of dog owners, and 53% of cat owners would be at least somewhat likely to perform CPR on their pet in the event of a medical emergency, well, according to a new association.
In an emergency, yes.
It'd be hard to do.
Well,
not just because I'm hard up for some affection.
Only 53% of cat owners because you have no soul. That's why. Almost all dog owners would do it. Well, that might not end well for you with Jazz. Because
ribs were stuck.
See my hand?
Yeah, you have scratches just from trying to pet him.
Yes, I do.
Imagine trying to French kiss him.
I have a real ornery cat. Yeah.
Here's a kitty story for you.
And now, a story about a cat.
And then, back to the countdown. A cat who rode 2 miles through New York City while stuck in the engine compartment of an SUV has lived to meow about it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He was fine. He's fine. He's fine. And here's another interesting fun fact. That car trying to start sounds exactly like Terry Jeffrey. I don't have Terry Jeffrey in my box anymore. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Oh. Who would want to?
It sounds exactly like Terry Jeffrey's car starting.
It's only in your box.
No, he's gone.
Well,
now.
No, he's in there. You just can't get to it.
Okay.
If you want to go ahead and type in fine.
I need some surgery.
Yeah, you do.
Wow. Terry Jeffrey fit into there?
I need that rejuvenation thing. Okay. Terry, because he's a big man.
He's a gigantic man with a teeny tiny voice. That's what makes him so funny.
Wow. Yikes. I can't even feel it. 20 minutes after the hour.
That's a problem.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with more on the economy and much
what
more.
What is with all the talk about your box this morning?
Well, because I sent you an email last night to put this in it.
The sound effects.
You want me to put a fart in your box?
That's the stuff I think about at night. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jenna in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jenna.
Hi. I just got push-pulled by Newt Gingrich.
I am so sorry. Did he tell you you were pretty
painful
first?
No, actually, it was some woman, I guess, and she sounded a little bit on the elderly side, but she asked me what I thought about this foolish and out-of-control spending in Washington. And so I said to her, I said, well, if this is a poll, I need something more objective to base my opinion on. And she kind of went, well, Mr. Gingrich has a message for you. And
oh, no.
Well, you know,
I'm not supposed to be objective. This is a push poll. Oops, that's what I wasn't supposed to say.
Frankly.
So I said, well, unfortunately, if I had thought of it, I would have, you know, conferenced you guys in. So, you know, we could have all talked to her.
Oh,
but
that'd be
I didn't
great
think of that in time. And instead, I just, you know, got really frustrated and said, look, you know, I don't want to hear anything from Newt Gingrich. I want to get my information from an objective news source. Of course, I listened to you, which isn't exactly objective, but, you know.
It is close enough.
And I hung up on him. But I really wish I had stayed and gotten the message, because then I could have shared it with you. My blood pressure went up so quickly,
all
I just
right
had to hang up.
All right. Do your homework better next time.
I will. I'm sorry.
Thank you, General. All right.
Frankly.
Okay. Yeah.
Frankly, Frankly, are you concerned about the communist, socialist, Nazi Obama policies? You should be, because he wants to put you in caps and make you die, frankly.
All right. This is the ridiculous Republican of the day. Pennsylvania Republican lawmaker. By the way, a coalition of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans under the name Operation Free is on a 21-state bus tour to alert the public about the dangers of global warming and its threat to national security. Upon hearing about the group's visit to Pennsylvania, State Representative Daryl Metcalf, Daryl and, you know, his other brother, Daryl, Republican, blasted the veterans as traitors and compared them to Benedict Arnold.
What?
He says, as a veteran, I believe that any veteran lending their name to promote the leftist propaganda of global warming and climate change in an effort to control more of the wealth created in our economy through cap-and-tax-type policies all in the name of national security is a traitor to the oath he or she took to defend the Constitution of our great nation. Remember Benedict Arnold before giving credibility to a veteran who uses their service as a means to promote a leftist agenda.
So he hates the military.
Baby drill, he ends by saying.
Wow. Why does he hate the military?
He said if the type of policies that an individual promotes undermines the Constitution and the law of the land in our country, then they are not patriots. By the way, in the past, he has refused to support a Domestic Violence Awareness Month in Pennsylvania because the resolution referenced domestic abuse suffered by men, which he interpreted as part of a homosexual agenda.
What? Oh.
He also opposed a vote to honor the 60th anniversary of a Muslim group in the state because Muslims don't recognize Jesus Christ as God.
Oh, boy.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've always wanted to be a sexy lounge singer like Michelle Pfeiffer.
Feelings. Hey, how you doing? 33 minutes
that's
after
not
the
sexy
hour. What I did. What? Where are you from? 1-800-STEP-1-2 the
Star Wars.
It's a Star Wars.
If they should bar wars. Please let these
don't forget,
Star Wars
tomorrow is Fridays with Fugelsang. John
yes,
Fugelsang.
Absolutely.
Yes. And this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you
he
by...
He should change his name to Furcht Gott Rott.
Identity...
Fugelsang Furcht Gott Rott.
This is the important part that you can't interrupt, Jim. This hour of the show is brought to you by Identity Guard. Making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. Thank you, Identity Guard.
Yeah. Sign up immediately.
Well, you know, Mitch McConnell, not so good with the numbers. Republican leader Mitch McConnell, at a press conference, a reporter asked him to explain why such a low number of Americans, 20%, self-identify as Republicans. McConnell responded by dodging the questions and saying, well, you can pick out whatever polls you want to focus on. I'm guessing he didn't want to focus on that one.
No.
He said, I think a very interesting question. Most of the polls I've seen in the last few months is the question of the party generic ballot. That is, if the election were held today, would you be more likely to vote for the Republican or the Democrat? Most of the surveys I've seen in the last 3 weeks or so have us close to even.
Computer says no. Really?
No, he is sadly mistaken.
Yes.
Yes. Right now, the latest Washington Post poll finds that when respondents are asked whether they will vote for a Democrat or a Republican in the 2010 elections, 51% Democratic, 39% Republican, and that's about the same as it's been for the last couple of years.
Hmm.
But other than that, Senator McChinless.
I prefer to call Senator McLipless.
Pardon me.
Because my upper lip has disappeared.
I get that wrong all the time. I'm sorry. It's his lip that has gone missing.
Yes. Somewhere near Brainerd.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Glenn Beck with another edition of Really Bad Analogies. According to Glenn Beck, Jim,
mm-hmm.
Samuel Adams, one of the founding fathers.
And the maker of a great beer.
Yes. Mmm. Mm-hmm. Beer.
Mmm. Beer.
Oh, I'm sorry. You distracted me. he would have hated modern day progressives. He said, we call them progressives now, but back in Samuel Adams' day, they used to call them tyrants.
Oh.
A little later, I think they were also called slave owners.
So the Tories in Britain were progressive?
Kind of odd. Beck deifies the founding fathers while attacking progressives as slave owners, considering most of the most famous founding fathers were slave owners.
Slave owners.
They were.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a thing to do back then.
So why does he hate Lincoln?
I don't know. Speaking of polls,
Lincoln was
a
progressive
and a Republican.
Yeah.
I've been mentioning this to a Congress critter or two this morning, but more than half of likely Nevada voters think Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is a weak leader, with 84% of his Democratic base supporting a public option for health care reform. According to a new poll, the poll found Reid trailing both of his possible Republican challengers by single digits. When voters were asked, do you think Harry Reid is a strong leader or a weak leader, 52% said weak. A dismal 35% had a favorable opinion of the Majority Reid leader.
I don't know why people would think I'm weak. Because I said that I favor possibly sometime in the future something like talking about public option and not necessarily doing it, but that, you know, just putting it on the table, see if anyone likes it.
The numbers say it all, said the pollster. If Harry Reid starts acting like a strong leader and passes the public option, he solidifies his standings with Democrats and independents and has a chance to survive in 2010.
I would hate to do anything rash or outlandish.
Okay. Speaking of tough leaders, well, I can't identify where things are. And, oh, here it is in my box.
You have almost 1,000 things in your box. And
I know.
You can't...
Wow.
Wait a minute. I forgot I was going to do this again. Yeah. Okay. There was a cat that survived in an SUV for several blocks in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And that car starting sounded very much like Terry Jeffries' car sounds when it's starting. Okay.
If you've got Terry Jeffries stuck in your engine, you've got problems.
Yes. You're a little front heavy, man.
He's the teeny tiny voice Republican pundit with a great big vision for America.
And he's gigantic. Mm-hmm. He's a gigantic man with a tiny little voice.
He'd have to be in a big SUV that he was stuck in.
I dare say you have to be stuck in a dump truck. That's where he would have to be.
George Bush is a dump truck, according to one of our young listeners.
Oh, heavens. Youths are so impressionable, particularly the ones that listen to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can you say George Bush is a dump truck? Thank you, Ben.
He has trouble pronouncing the constant T-R.
Stephanie Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, you guys. Thank God you found Terry Jeffries. I was getting a little worried because I just love that. I swear to God, it sounds like a schnauzer or a poodle when we were growing up.
Exactly, like you stepped on a schnauzer's foot.
Yeah, totally. And I just want to go on record that I love Nancy Pelosi. Thank God she is there. You know, she just makes me, when she gets in there, I tell you, you know, they were looking for a lion. I think they got it wrong. We needed the lioness.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Exactly. Well, you know, Terry Jeffries' point frequently is that Democrats need to man up, that they are not, you know.
I do.
I really think you should man up, all of you guys. I don't see why you don't, because you're looking kind of effeminate and weenie like. I really think you should man up.
The president, meanwhile, manning up lately, in my opinion. Taking it to Wall Street on Wall Street.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
That was kind of cool.
Swept into Manhattan Tuesday evening, and he's as you know, pushing stiff financial regulations. He worked his way up to addressing the tension in the room. Awkward.
Yeah.
But he eventually criticized Wall Street in its own backyard and challenged the financial industry workers who paid $30,000 a couple. Hello.
Holy crap.
To attend the event to support his efforts. He said, so if there are members of the financial industry in the audience today, I would ask that you join us in passing what are necessary reforms. Don't fight them.
Yeah. Why didn't you go to this thing?
Yeah, right. The White House also taking a tough line with members of administration-appointed board and commissions who want to evade President Obama's effort to curb the role of lobbyists in government. The question was whether a presidential ban on lobbyists in administration posts would apply to the boards and commissions. The answer so far?
Computer says yes.
Yes. Oh. Obama toughening up his lobbying stance as well. Oh, and in other news... responding to the growing fear over the paychecks of executives at companies that receive billions of dollars in the government's financial rescue, the Obama administration will order the companies that receive the most aid to deeply slash the compensation to their highest paid executives.
Wow.
An official vowed in the decision
awesome.
Said yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Under the plan, the seven companies that receive the most assistance will have to cut the annual salaries of their 25 best paid executives by an average of 90% from last year.
Woo-hoo.
How about that, Terry Jeffrey?
Yeah, I think the president ought to man up. Man up. I was really kind of weak of him.
Hit enter.
I really think...
No, hit find again, then hit find,
mm-hmm.
then hit enter.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you have a complicated
box. I do.
Whew. Ugh. Finding Terry Jeffrey in my box is
I know
is
where
not,
things are in your box more than you do.
It's not as easy as you would think. Is it, Terry? All right, get back in there. Let's go to James in Albuquerque. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling to let you know that when Jim Ward talks, I listen. Not that I don't listen to the other two of you, because I do, but Jim, thanks for being you. And when you're gone, I miss you, and don't go away anymore.
Jim doesn't listen to me, do you, Jim?
Sorry, what? Did you say something?
All right. Thank you, James in Albuquerque. All right. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah.
42 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest on the economy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Six minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. The Dow up 57 points.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget, our comedian John Fugelsang tomorrow, Fridays with Fugelsang. Wow, it's the weekend already. Woohoo! All right. By the by, I'm still getting over this little, whatever it is.
Kerfluffle.
Exactly. Swine flu, something. It's nice to know that Esmeralda, Senator Ghostly, who magically made the... funding for the pandemic flu preparation go away.
Hmm.
Had this to say about
they want to know if it's safe to give to their children,
the vaccine.
What kind of testing was done, and whether it contains any dangerous additives.
And what sort of idiot would get rid of the funds for pandemic flu? More evidence that God hates Republicans, because every time a Republican, like Bobby Jindal, volcano monitoring, that's... And then suddenly, right behind him, as if by green screen, a volcano explodes.
In Sarah Palin's state, no
it's
less.
Ridiculous pandemic flu kind of preparation funding, whatever.
Whatever.
As she pukes right after saying that.
Splat. like Balloon Boy. As she pukes on Meredith Vieira.
Daddy lies make me barf.
Kathleen Sebelius, Health and Human Services Secretary.
There are actually 86 H1N1 lab-confirmed pediatric deaths since we began reporting this in April. And the number is equivalent to the entire flu season of past years, so we are already at that level.
Oh, by the way, did you see Kathleen Sebelius's testimony yesterday?
I did not.
She, I guess she just had skin cancer surgery. Ooh. So, like, one eye was, like, half closed and the other was.
Geez.
Yeah, so it was a little eerie, but glad she's okay, and then she's back at it. So there you go.
She looked a little like the scream is what you're saying, so it was hard to focus, but it was.
A little bit. You couldn't tear your eyes off of it.
Okay. I'm sorry, Secretary. You were.
Oh. Doug! God. Sorry.
But we're
very glad she's okay and
yes,
that she caught it in time.
We certainly are. You're the one that brought it up.
Well, I mean, people were talking about it.
All right.
So we do.
The president talking about the economy and small business yesterday.
There's no question that our Recovery Act has given a boost to every American who works at a small business or owns one.
Yeah, you know, my buddy Ed Schultz has been talking about this, about, you know, that's one of the main things I think about rebuilding America and the economy is getting small business some help and get them back on their feet.
Like the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
That's a small business.
Yes, indeed. Hey, now that Rebecca on phones and drums is married, can't Mr. Taylor put her on his health insurance?
That's entirely possible.
So I can get him off?
Because his health insurance might possibly be better than ours.
All right. Take care now.
Take care, Rebecca Taylor.
She's typing something up there.
Really? She said this is good. She said he is putting her on his insurance, so she's canceling hers. Oh, savings for small business in America.
And I've never been on your health insurance.
Thank God.
Yeah, right, now it's just the two of us, Steph. It's just the
We were going to marry each other just to try to top Jim and Rebecca, but now we're going to have to marry someone else so we can get on their health insurance.
Yeah.
Who wants to marry us? Health insurance. Anybody? Anybody? Bueller?
I'll marry someone who works for Disney. They have spectacular health benefits.
I've heard that.
I'm all about reducing costs here at Stephanie Miller International. All right, the president yesterday.
The steps we've taken have improved the overall climate for small business across the country. But there's also no question that we've got a long way to go.
Yes, and then he talked about banks and small businesses.
These institutions put forth a plan to increase lending to small businesses. We will help them get the credit they need to do it at rates that are more affordable than the ones offered to our largest financial institutions.
Right-wing tool Mike Pence, the guy I debated on the fairness doctrine.
Republican from Indiana.
Ever.
The president offering bailout funds to small businesses while pushing a government takeover of health care is like getting a Christmas bonus right before you get a pink slip.
What? Hmm? Oh, what does that one thing have to do with the... Okay. Leader Pelosi yesterday.
We do not have plans for an additional stimulus package, but we do have plans to stimulate the economy in the work that we are doing here.
All right. By the way, religious leaders yesterday, a group of Christian, Jewish, and Muslim leaders have penned an open letter. They're pointing out an edition of really bad analogies, which has been pointed out here on the Stephanie Miller newscast. Yeah.
And thanks for playing Really Bad Analogies.
I think I said a while back, I think everybody needs to hold off on Nazi analogies. I'm just saying.
Unless you're talking about Prescott Bush.
Oh, yeah, who was actually a Nazi, in which case that's okay. George Bush's grandfather.
Or unless you're actually talking about Hitler.
Yeah.
I heard he was kind of a bastard.
Yes. However,
but he was a heck of a dancer.
They singled out Southern Baptist leader Richard Land, the RNC Glenn Beck, and Representative Alan Grayson, the Democrat, for criticism. They said in the last month we've seen an alarming number of public figures use the Nazis and the Holocaust as metaphors in a public debate on issues critical to this country. This development is one of the most vile example of the disturbing language that has insinuated itself into our national dialogue, to which Glenn Beck said, "Get off my phone. Get off my phone!"
Get off my phone! Get off my phone!
You Nazi!
Get off my phone, you little finhead!
It's especially incongruous if you're referring to an African-American as a Nazi while simultaneously calling him an extreme liberal.
Yes.
Does that apply to William Donahue, too? the head of the Catholic League? Because he used a Nazi analogy for you.
Yes. Oh, he did, as I recall.
Yeah.
On CNN, back when they allowed such dregs as talk radio hosts.
Well, there is that. He might actually be a Nazi.
All right. Can I have my game show music, please? Jim, we don't know that. It's time for another edition of Dick Cheney. We mentioned this earlier. He accused the president of dithering over the strategy for the war in Afghanistan and urged President Obama to do what it takes to win.
And that would be?
Make no mistake, signals of indecision out of Washington hurt our allies and embolden our adversaries. The White House must stop dithering while America's armed forces are in danger. It's time for President Obama to do what it takes to win the war.
Since you're so full of advice, what do you suggest?
Yeah, I told you earlier his fellow neocon, John Bolton, said that Israel needs to hurry up and nuke Iran.
Yeah,
that's helpful. Because that'll cool things down over there.
That's really helpful. Thanks, John.
He was our top diplomat.
Yeah. During the Bush administration.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Okay, I mentioned earlier that I think Senator John Kerry might have a better idea. He said he thinks President Obama should wait till after the new Afghan presidential election is conducted before making his decision on the war. He met with Obama at the White House yesterday just after returning from Afghanistan, where he played a crucial role, as you know, in persuading Karzai to accept a runoff after a fraud-plagued election. The new vote set for November 7th, which is not so far from now. I thought he made, he made some good points. He said, Kerry said, I mean, who's your defense minister? Do you have a good defense minister who's going to help coordinate the Afghan forces with your troops? Or do you have a political appointee who doesn't know anything about what he's doing? So anyway, that was what he advised the president. I love Jim, by the way, the reason that apparently he was able to do so well with Karzai. Because I think he must have handed him a copy of What Went Wrong in Ohio.
No.
by John Conyers. He said, do I understand the day after an election where you think you've won or you have some votes that weren't counted or something? Been there, done that, Kerry said.
Yeah.
He talked to Karzai about the 2004 election, which he... What's the word I'm looking for, Jim?
One.
Well, yes. He won, technically. Technically.
Were they using Diebold machines in
Ohio, which then would have...
I think there were just big X's in boxes. I don't think there was a Diebold machine even went into Afghanistan.
Well, it require electricity, for one thing. But.
Huh. There's already speculation, by the way, that if Hillary were to step down for some reason during the Obama administration, that Kerry would be on the short list. They called him Secretary Kerry by accident.
Oops.
At the press conference.
Sure, she'd love that.
Oh, dear, that. He's a knee slapper. But there's a big story on Kerry today. He's not president, a cabinet member, or ambassador, but he has ascended to the unofficial role of President Obama's global advisor on key issues. He has, after just mediating this Afghan thing. They also share a political pedigree. Both were mentored by Ted Kennedy. Senator Kerry, obviously, is someone who has a broad range of experience and an in-depth knowledge of issues ranging from energy and climate change to health care to foreign policy, said the White House. I think it's experience and insight that Obama certainly values. Gee, he might have made a good president, Jim.
Yeah.
Oh.
If only they'd actually counted the votes in Ohio.
Hmm.
Ken
Obama
took care of that.
As you know, made his debut during that convention. That's and Obama wrote a letter to Kerry saying, I'm here because of you. So they have a very special touching bond. Okay. All right. By the by, here's some good news on the gay rights front. Federal housing officials said yesterday developing regulations to ensure that gays and lesbians aren't denied access to federally subsidized housing based on their sexual orientation. HUD will also commission a first-ever study to determine the extent of discrimination based on sexual orientation in housing sales and rentals. They pointed to a study from Michigan's Fair Housing Centers that found that nearly 30% of same-sex couples were treated differently when trying to buy or rent a house.
Hmm.
You know why, Jim. Because, as Pat Robertson said, they're all about breaking stuff, the gays. They're trying to destroy marriage and a bunch of other things.
To destroy
unspecified
institutions of marriage and China and the China shop, not the actual country of China. That'd be hard.
They're gay bulls in a gay China shop. All right, that's it for us. Friday's with you. We'll sing this tomorrow. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.